What's up, everyone? This episode features Sam Kelly, former respiratory therapist and current PA student. Sam envisioned herself as a PA and is en route to completing her goal. She is also a mentor for students on their way up and in their pursuit of PA school. Sam is also a former dance team star, a dog mom, and a beer connoisseur. Have a listen to Sam's story as she transitions from working as a respiratory therapist to PA school and beyond. I hope you enjoy. And if you do, please share the episode with others. Also like us on Instagram at Our Lives in Medicine and comment on the things you enjoyed and the topics you'd like to hear in the future episodes. And as always, if you need some good beats to study or get some work done or just catch some good vibes, tune into the intro and outro and check the show notes for the artist shoutouts. I hope you enjoy and hope you have a great day. How's everything going? I know it took us forever to get this worked out, but I'm glad we finally did.
We just took two people with busy schedules is all
yeah,
good.
Yeah, two busy schedules and we're trying to make an hour of time work and that's pretty hard, but we made it work. So that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on? Welcome to the new life in PA, right?
Yeah, close. PA. I'm like working.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying I'm doing my last couple shifts as a respiratory therapist this coming weekend and then a month off before I start school.
Sweet. Yeah, I was saying PA as in Philadelphia, but Pennsylvania, but I meant as a PA student too. That's awesome. Double congrats, you know.
Thanks.
Are you kind of getting sad that you're getting ready to leave the respiratory therapist field or are you just super excited?
It's definitely sad just because that's been my life for the past 3 years since I graduated undergrad, but definitely excited for the next steps in my life. I feel like I've been preparing for it for so long that I'm just like so ready.
Yeah, for sure. You're going to crush it. You're going to do great. That's, thanks. That's fun. So what are you most excited about for starting PA school?
I think I'm most excited about actually just learning again. I actually don't mind learning like in a classroom setting, and I think that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to go back to school, was just to like gain more medical knowledge. So I'm very excited to start learning, except I know I'll probably take that back the second I have like my first exam I need to study for or something.
You're gonna be like, I don't like this type of learning, I just want to like learn my own stuff, you know.
At my own pace.
I was talking to one of the PAs at the hospital the other day, and she kind of made the good point of, not to stress you out, but it's just like, you guys learn everything we do in medical school in like half the time. So it's like, oof.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, but definitely. I know that we don't go as in depth in some courses as you guys, but like the actual medical stuff, yeah, I'm nervous, but I'm excited. I'm ready to take it on.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. You'll look up and it'll be 2 years from now and you'll be like, wow, I can't believe it's already over. But thankfully it is. So, yeah.
I know.
I think
hopefully it goes by fast.
It will. And it's crazy how fast it's going to go by. And it's super fun while you're in it. There's hard days. But I think the thing you're going to miss most is getting a headache for a paycheck versus paying to have a headache. There's a big difference.
Oh, my gosh. I know. That's like, I got so used to having a real adult paycheck these last 3 years that I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready to go back to being broke.
I know, it's tough. It was like, I worked after undergrad and then I went to grad school, then I went to med school. And so like when I was in grad school, it wasn't as bad, but then I still missed, you know, an income.
Mm-hmm.
And then med school, I was like, oh my God, I'm so broke. So Yeah. And I'm paying for every headache. Every day I go in, I'm like paying to go there. It sucks. But now, you know, you're about to do, well,
And
you're about
it's
to
like,
do
why am I
that.
paying for this?
Exactly.
I
Exactly.
know.
That's going to be you soon, but you'll be fine. And it's 2 years and you'll get out of there and be so happy. So I'm excited for you.
It'll all be worth it. Thank you.
What made you want to change from respiratory to PA?
So when I was working as a respiratory therapist, I just kind of got a craving to learn more and do more for my patients. So working with my patients and just being in charge of the cardiopulmonary system, it just didn't feel like enough. I didn't feel like I was doing all that I could be doing for my patients. In that time I was, with the knowledge I had, the limited knowledge I had, but it just inspired me to know more and do more, go back to school and be able to be a provider for my patients and diagnose, treat, all that fun stuff that I haven't been able to do as a respiratory therapist.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's cool that it shows part of you, a part of you that you're already doing something so great, which is managing the respiratory system. And then you're like, I want to do more, even more. So I would totally respect that. That's awesome. That's cool. And so let's see, what was your route into becoming a respiratory therapist?
I went to a 4-year undergraduate college. So my original plan, I went in as a psychology major, not really sure what I wanted to do. I had an interest in healthcare, but I just wasn't sold on nursing. And I knew I didn't want to be a doctor at the time. And I just wasn't sure of other careers in healthcare. So I went in as a psychology major, unsure about where I was with that path, but I had a teammate on the dance team I was on college. And she was in the respiratory care program. So I kind of picked her brain about that, asked what a respiratory therapist was, how to get into the program, what the program consists of. And she kind of just sold me. It seemed like something I would like to do. And it was like a part of the healthcare team working in the hospital directly with patients. So that was, it kind of fit. So I applied into that program my sophomore year. I got accepted. The remaining of my sophomore year, I just finished out my gen ed requirements. And then my junior and senior year, I was fully in the respiratory care program, doing just respiratory care classes and then rotations and our clinicals.
Oh, so I didn't know this. Respiratory therapy is like it's a bachelor degree.
So it can be an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree. The profession wants everyone to have a bachelor's degree soon. So if, like, some of my coworkers have associate's degrees, so they need to go back and get their bachelor's. But technically, you can just get an associate's degree in respiratory care, which is a 2-year degree, but you do need to complete prereqs to get accepted into the program. So usually my coworkers have said it's about 3 years of schooling anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's 2 years directly in a respiratory care program. So that's why, like, my junior and senior year were just like a respiratory care program, but then I completed the gen eds. So that's why I have my bachelor's.
Got you. Sweet. Okay. And what is the coursework for that like?
So the coursework to get in, it was just basic sciences like Bio 1, Chem 1, A&P 1 and 2, and then like a math. Like, I think I had to take statistics. And then once I was in the respiratory care program, I was taking classes like aspects of respiratory care, so learning about the profession, respiratory, A&P 1 and 2. So it was just specialized anatomy and physiology course just on the respiratory system, figuring out how that works. And also it kind of went into the cardiopulmonary system in that class. Then we also had ventilator management courses, oxygen therapy courses, because there's so many modalities of oxygen. We need to learn all of them and the best ways to distribute them to our patients and our types of patients. And then we had to take a pediatrics respiratory course and a couple more sprinkled in there, but I feel like those are the main ones.
Mm-hmm. So what is...
And that's not including... Oh, sorry.
No,
I was going to say that's
I'm
not
sorry.
Including like when we do... that's not including when we do our rotations, our clinicals. So we do have to spend time working with other respiratory therapists in the hospital to get hours.
That's what I was going to ask. It was just kind of like, what is the, you talked about the classroom stuff. What's the hands-on training like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first year was mainly just straight classroom learning. And then the summer before our second year, so it was like the summer before my senior year, I had to do, I believe it was 5 weeks of clinicals full time. So it was like a summer semester. So I was basically working Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, roughly. It was like a 7 to 3 shift in the hospital. And we were working in different units, different types of hospitals, city hospitals, rural hospitals. We were just doing floor care at that time. And then our senior year, we did have some classes our first semester. And then our second semester, we were doing clinicals full time again with just one class day a week. So we were doing 3 days, 8 hour shifts during our last semester with one full day of classes. So yeah, and it was all in different specialties. So like I said, we started with floor care and then we moved into medical ICUs, surgical ICUs, emergency departments, pulmonary function testing, cardiopulmonary rehab, things like that.
It sounds pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, obviously, because it's not just respirators and things like that. There's a lot of modalities, which I didn't even know until I did like emergency room and then inpatient medicine. I saw call respiratory all the time and all the different modalities you guys do. That's pretty sweet. So,
yeah, there's a lot. There's, go ahead.
No, please.
I was just saying, like, there's so much I didn't even know there was anything other than a nasal cannula and a ventilator before I even was educated enough.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was the same way, and that's your field. So I don't feel as bad, I guess. That's cool. So what are some of the kind of day-to-day now things that you do? What are some of the modalities or kind of cases that you see?
So it definitely depends on the level of care I'm treating. So if I'm on floor care, we're doing a lot of nebulizer treatments. So bronchodilation, our patients with asthma and COPD. We also have like our low flow oxygen, so just a regular nasal cannula or a Venturi mask, something that can just like hook up to the little flow meter in the wall. And then as we get to our sicker patients, that increases in our higher flow oxygen. So we can do high flow nasal cannulas, we can do Mistioxes, then we go into the non-invasive ventilation, which is our BiPAPs and CPAPs. So positive pressure mask for patients that need that. And then we go into our ventilators, which is the whole endotracheal intubation and oxygenation and ventilation on the vent.
Okay. That sounds like the harder stuff. Is that true?
It's definitely the harder stuff. Not only the harder stuff to learn even just the basics on in school, but when you come out as a respiratory therapist, I definitely had to learn on the job ventilator management. So managing the patient on the ventilator is definitely the hardest part, and coordinating that with the care that the other providers are giving, especially nursing.
Yeah, that's a huge puzzle, like chess piece right there. That's like a big chess match. That's tough. Yeah. I forget that it's not just, all right, because you know, from our side, we just order, put them on the ventilator. There's so much more that goes into that, you know, and even like anesthesia that helps manage and stuff like that. But you guys are doing like the meat of it. So that's crazy. Yeah. That sounds cool, though. It sounds like a really fun.
Yeah.
Once you learn it.
Yeah. It's like anesthesia will be there to intubate, and then anesthesia usually leaves. And then it's just myself and whatever providers, whether NP or MD, DO. We work together to decide what's the best way to manage the patient on that ventilator. And once they give us some sort of direction, we're kind of on our own with the management and just working with the patient and the nursing to get the proper sedation and get the patient as comfortable as possible while still maintaining appropriate acid-base gases.
Right. So what did you feel like the first time you walked in the room and had your very first patient after training?
I was definitely a little nervous. I think my first patient, where it was on my first day, I remember the patient looked at me and was like, "Are you new here?" I was like, "How could you tell?" So I definitely think I wasn't confident yet. And it's definitely something I acquired over time, and just like, wow, I can't believe I'm on my own. Like, yes, I have all this training. I'm a registered respiratory therapist. I had to take board exams, but you don't get that confidence until you're constantly treating patients on your own and just using your own clinical judgment, of course, bouncing ideas off your coworkers. I definitely was nervous. I almost didn't trust my own abilities at first. I feel like that's a common theme in healthcare. But I think I came to trust myself.
Yeah, I can tell you not trusting yourself is super normal amongst myself, at least, and other other fields probably as well would agree. So, but, you know, you grow into it. It sounds like you had 3 years of experience. It sounds like, you know, nothing could really shake you at this point. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely, at least when I go into PA school, like I'll be comfortable with the patient encounters. But once it starts to get into like new knowledge and new medicine that I didn't know before, I'm definitely going to be a little nervous and probably second guessing myself again. But I think I'm lucky to have this experience prior. So at least I'm not nervous even just talking to a patient now. It's just the medicine aspect I feel like I have to worry about now.
Right, absolutely. I definitely think you'll have a huge advantage just as far as that goes. But, you know, I think you'll have an advantage too just because you've A, worked, B, studied already. You know how to study well, and you know how to work, that's for sure. I mean, work ethic is something you can't really fake your way through. So that's for you. You definitely have that. You know, you're having your last couple of shifts as a respiratory therapist, and you're moving on to being a boss lady PA soon. What do you what do you see kind of as things that will be barriers? Not barriers, but just like the hiccups of PA school. What do you think is going to be kind of the obstacles?
I think my main obstacle is going to just be transitioning from being a working person back to a full-time student. I think just going back into that like study mode and grind that I did for so long. I mean, you go through so much schooling and then undergrad and then all of a sudden you're done. And I think I definitely have relaxed a bit, but I think I hope I just didn't lose the skills that I had in undergrads to study for PA school. I'm sure it'll all come back, you know, like riding a bike, but I'm definitely a little nervous for that.
Yeah, instead of riding a bike on the street, it'll be like riding a bike on a tightrope with fire and, you know, rain coming down on you, but the fire doesn't go out under you. You know, it's no big deal though. You'll got it.
Yeah, sounds easy.
Yeah, you still know how to ride the bike at least. You can still do that.
At least I got one thing down.
Yeah, exactly. Have you met any of your future classmates yet?
I have not. So we do have a Facebook group where we're just kind of talking about class stuff. But I think the pandemic kind of spoiled it a bit. I think we were talking about possibly doing a meetup at some point before school. So I still want to try and do that, maybe outdoors with social distancing in effect. But the pandemic's putting a little damper on getting to meet everyone before class.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. And it sucks too because I'm assuming PA would be just like any other program. You know, you have those big get-togethers in the beginning, or you meet everyone and everyone kind of joins up and makes their clicks pretty quickly. But now you're going to be kind of not get robbed of those experiences in the early part. That sucks. But is your school going to be... Is it going to be all virtual, or are they going to do kind of just socially distanced lectures?
So we are doing a hybrid method. So our lectures that can be... So most of our just lecture courses will be pre-recorded and then posted for us at the normal lecture time. And then we can watch them at any point. They don't have to be, we don't have to like attend them at the time where the class is being, at the time the class is being held. So that'll be for our lectures. And then we do have some lab classes like cadaver lab, physical diagnostics, things like that, where we need to actually be in person, have hands-on learning. We will be doing those in person. But I believe they're splitting the class up and doing it in smaller groups. So we'll have different meeting times.
Okay. Do you think that it'll be fun or not fun being with people who just finished undergrad and are now in your class with you?
You mean like someone who just went straight from undergrad to
exactly. Exactly. Do you think that'll be fun, or do you think that'll be like you won't be able to relate to kind of not, they're not children by age, but mm-hmm. I feel like if you go straight from undergrad, you definitely, you didn't live a lot of different parts of life. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just very different for someone who's worked 3 years versus someone who goes straight in. How do you think you'll be dealing with them?
I think my class does have a good mix of like people who came straight out of undergrad and people who have had a few years of working experience, which is nice. I mean, it adds diversity to the class and we all can add something in our own ways. And I feel like it may be a little bit hard to relate just because different life experiences, like you were just saying. But I mean, I'm sure I can maybe ask them for help studying or something, ask them for study tips and maybe how they do online learning, since maybe they did that for their last semester of school, because I have not done online learning yet. So I'm sure they could teach me some things in some regard. But yeah, definitely, I do wonder about that sometimes, just because, not that I feel old, but maybe I will when I go back to school and there's like a 21-year-old in my class.
Yeah, isn't it sad that like being 24, 25 range is like you're the elder mm-hmm. now?
I know, and I'm like, I'm just like in my prime.
Yeah, well, tell me about it. I'm 30, so how do you think I feel?
Hey, that's still a prime.
Yeah, 30 is the new 28, I guess. You know, I still feel young, so.
Yes, as long as you feel young, you're young.
That's funny. So when you were interviewing for PA school, what are the interviews for PA school like?
So interviews are very, I would say that they're pretty similar to medical school, but I'm not sure. Correct me if I'm wrong. So you would either, after submitting your application, you would either get chosen for an interview or not, even if you met the minimum requirements. And then I would go in, and it depended if it was like a one-on-one interview or a group interview, but usually the day would consist of anywhere between like 25 and 80 applicants would all come in at once. Usually there was some presentations from the program director or like the clinical coordinator. Usually a panel of students would come in. We would be able to ask them some questions and they would answer them for us and kind of just explain how much basically they like the program and things like that. We would then split up into small groups, and either if it was a group interview, we would either do like a group activity so that they can observe how we worked in a team. And then we would go into like our interview room and either interview in a group or interview one-on-one, depending on what the program preferred. And usually the days took anywhere between like 3 and 5 hours. That was the interview process. And then I think I heard back from programs after interviews anywhere between one day. I got a response one day after an interview one time, and then 2 months. Yeah, so that's kind of the time frame.
One day? What? That is so lucky. Yeah, well, that's sweet.
No, I got rejected from that one, so that one sucked.
Oh, well, I guess I take it back.
They must have hated me so much. They were like, oh, we already know, we don't want this girl.
Oh my God. I guess, but then again, that's still better than wondering like, hey, how did I do? At least you know right away. You just crapped the bed, you know?
Yeah, in that regard, I was like, all right, time to move on.
Yeah,
like
definitely
it was
don't...
quick, one and done.
Exactly. You don't have to sweat anymore on that one. That's for sure. So it does sound very similar to med school interviews, though. Although, maybe not med school interviews, but residency interviews. Those things were long.
Oh.
I had a couple interviews that were like 7:30 a.m. to like 4 p.m.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And imagine like you're in your suit. It's hot or cold and you're like sitting upright, not slouching, you know, not chewing too fast, mm-hmm. not drinking too much. So you don't go to the bathroom all day. Like that's you're on that all day. It was hard.
It's uncomfortable. No, that's okay. No, being in that environment is so uncomfortable because you always have to be like on your game. Like even when you're by yourself or talking to other applicants, I feel like it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah. The worst is really, even by myself, like you said, I would be like, all right, I don't know if there's cameras, they're watching. I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to like do anything that I would normally do. I'm not going to slouch or anything, even just sitting by mm-hmm. myself. Yeah, it was a stressful time. So, but I'm glad you did it and you kicked butt and Although that one program was really disrespectful, otherwise that's pretty cool. I'm glad that you got it through.
Well, to be honest, that was probably my worst interview, but it was all for the best because that interview turned into a learning lesson. So like I learned how to interview better for my future programs. So everything happens for a reason.
That's such a mature response right there. I love it. Are you sure you're not 30? That's such a good response,
I might be.
Right,
I might be lying to the world.
well, you're just lying to yourself. No, I'm just joking. That's funny though. So yeah, that's cool. Did they ask you any like weird questions that kind of threw you off, or was it pretty straightforward?
I definitely practiced some like off questions, like what animal would you be? What color would you be in a box of crayons? But I don't think I was asked anything that abstract. But there was one question that threw me off so bad, I will never forget it. I don't know why it threw me off, but it was a two-on-one interview, so it was just me sitting with two faculty members, and we were chit-chatting. It was a pretty laid-back interview, and then all of a sudden they're like, "Okay," and I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "So, I'm sure you came here today with the desire to answer this one question." I was like, "Oh, like what question is it?" They're like, "No, you tell us." I was like, what? Like, I was just so confused by the wording. And I guess what they meant was they wanted, like, I guess if I came prepared with an answer to a question, what was that question? But just the way it was phrased and the way that the tables turned, it threw me off. Because, you go in and you're prepared to, like, for them to ask you questions, you answer them, and then maybe you ask one or two questions for them at the end. And it just, like, the whole dynamic just threw me off. And I was like, I don't know. I have to think about that for a second.
Yeah, what? That's really weird. That's horrible.
It was just the way that they phrased it. I was just like not prepared for it.
Yeah, I don't, it's a stretch of a phrasing, and that's a tough one. That's a zinger. That's a zinger for sure.
I know. I don't know if I answered it the best way, but I kind of just spun it as like, what else do I want to share more about myself that maybe we didn't get to talk about today? So I like brought up a part of my application that they didn't really concentrate on during the interview and just like emphasized another part of it. So I don't even know if that was a good approach, but that was the only thing I could think of in the time.
Yeah, that's smart. You didn't just flap like a fish. You got through at least. That's good. What animal would you be based on that question?
Hate that question. I said I would be like a dog, I feel like. I feel because everyone loves a dog. They're very loyal. They just do what a pet is supposed to do. They're there to love you. They're there to entertain you. They are active. They just always make people smile and they're dependable. That would be my response.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Now, do you think if
Feel like
you
it's
were a
kind
dog? No, I think it's
of
cool.
lame.
Now, if you were a dog, do you think you and your dog would get along?
I think I would literally be my dog. If I
Yeah,
had to
there
be
you go.
any dog, I would be my dog. But yes, we would be best friends.
There you go. That's cool. I speaking of like random interview stuff, I remember the interview that actually at the school where I ended up going to for med school. It was a 2-on-1, like you said. And I'm talking about, I forget what I was talking about. It was something that's like a touching, heart pull story, a heart tugging story that I had kind of perfected and was ready to rock and roll with. And I'm telling the story to the two ladies interviewing me. And one lady directly across from me, she's like leaned in. She's like all in. She's like focused. She's nodding her head. Like got the concerned look, like, oh, wow. The other lady is nodding off. The lady's
Oh
like,
my God.
her eyes are rolling around in her head, and she's like got her arms crossed and she's like swaying in the chair. And the lady at the other end is like listening to me and like elbowing the other interviewer, like elbowing her to keep her
So it
awake.
wasn't like an act. She was actually falling asleep.
She was for sure seriously falling asleep. And I was like, oh my God,
Stop.
I
That is
am
so funny.
definitely. And that was the only interview. You walk in the room, you talk to two people for 30 minutes, and that's it for the interview, as like the actual interview portion of the day.
I
So.
would have for sure thought that that wouldn't have gone like with an acceptance. I would have been like, oh my God, I bored that lady so much that like she doesn't even care about what I was saying.
I know, right? And I think that the lady listening and awake, she almost cried. The other lady was like asleep. So I think that I must have just averaged out to like, that was okay, you know?
Yeah, between the two reactions that you got there.
Yeah, that's great, but at least I didn't freak out. Like, that wasn't as bad as kind of interview us, like the question you got. That's a tough one. Like, you interview us almost. That's tough.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Like, I didn't come here for that. I came here to answer your questions, you know?
Was like, wait, let's go back to the normal questions. Ask me about me.
Yeah. Ask me about like a time I suffered or a time I had to work hard or something. No, don't ask me this. This is crazy. So yeah, I mean, how is the new life? Were you living in Pennsylvania before as a respiratory therapist?
Yeah, so I originally lived in Delaware just because that was the state where my hospital was, and then I moved to Pennsylvania because they're both border each other, so I was like right over the border. So I did live in Pennsylvania for the last year, but I just moved recently closer to where I'll be going to school in Pennsylvania still.
Sweet. And how's the new, I saw your post on the new apartment. How's the new digs and the new life and everything there?
Yeah, it's nice. We're loving it. My dog's loving it, especially we have a balcony and some trails. So I think she's liking it more than me or my boyfriend. But it's honestly been so great.
That's awesome. And you like the new location as far, I know it's COVID time, but you like everything pretty much so far though?
Yeah, so far we went to a restaurant right across from our apartment complex and it was great. So that's all I can ask for, some good food and some good views.
Yeah, absolutely. You said something earlier. You said you were on the dance team in college.
Yeah, I was.
Tell me about that.
So I danced all my life growing up. I think my mom put me in dance classes when I was like 3. And I just continued to dance. And I danced competitively through elementary school, middle school, high school. And then I was on my high school dance team. So studio dance is different than, like, I guess, school dance teams. So then I was on my high school dance team. And then when I went to college, one of the things I was looking for at the university I went to was to have a dance team that competed at the college nationals at the World Wide Sports Center in Orlando, Florida. So I just love the competitive nature of dancing, and I wanted to make sure I had something I was involved in school just for my own sanity and just to have a group of people to relate to and a community. So I decided to go to my university and I made the dance team there, and I did that for all 4 years. I was a member my first 2 years. My third year, I was secretary. And then my fourth year, I was captain, co-captain with one of my teammates. And it was a student-run organization, so it was run by myself and my co-captain.
Sweet, that's awesome. I like that a lot. What was
Yeah.
kind of like your favorite style to dance?
So I think my favorite was definitely hip hop. But it's funny because I hated hip hop like all growing up. But when I got to college and we did the certain style and I kind of got a little bit better, that's when I started liking it more. It was just the most fun to perform, I felt. It was like a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, I feel like that really gets the people going.
It does.
Like it's so I love to watch So You Think You Can Dance, and
Oh,
it's
yeah.
yeah, I mean it's or even like America's Best Dance Crew, whatever. It's like it's tough though because you have to respect like tap, for example. But tap's hard to get the people going, especially if you're following up like a really cool hip hop or like a tutting or something like that routine, you know? It's tough to flex the same way with tap or something like that,
Yeah,
but
hip hop is so like showy, and it's just the audience can appreciate it more because it's so in your face, and like the tricks are bigger and just more of a wow factor.
yeah, for sure. So, I mean, respect though to everyone that does their craft. It's just, I definitely see that there's some that definitely pull more than others. But it's funny because I did martial arts for a long time. And one
Oh,
of the
wow.
thing, yeah, well, one of the things that many martial artists and, you know, warriors from the past, like, you know, thousands of years ago have always said is that martial arts ability and dance ability are usually should coincide and correlate, and you should get
Yeah.
better at both. I am such a bad dancer. So,
You have to be good in some regard if you're good at martial arts. It, like the balance and the core strength and the just all the full body strength and like a lot of the tricks that we mimic in hip hop, kind of you can find a variation of martial arts, so you can't be that bad.
Maybe I'm not doing the right type. Maybe I should try like ballet or something. I don't know. I might be good at that. Yeah,
Yeah, we'll see. Send me a
we'll
video
see.
when you try.
No. Definitely not. I don't want this professional over here judging my first attempt at ballerina dancing. That's funny. So you're also a dog mom, and you it sounds like you have a pretty sweet dog that you would like to take trade places with. Tell me about your dog.
Yeah, she lives the life. She's a little girl. Her name is Millie. We rescued her about a little over a year ago now. She just turned one. We think she's a shepherd golden retriever mix. I think she has German shepherd, some other shepherd that we're unsure of, and golden retriever in her. So she is just a active love bug. She's the perfect combo of will sleep all day with me when I'm sleeping during the daytime for night shift, and then will run you crazy in the evening time going on trails, can run and walk for miles and chase balls forever. She's just like literally the best dog that I never had because I never grew up with a dog. And she just has been great, just keeping me active, keeping me up, and especially when applying to PA school got really hard, having her there and a reason to get up and get moving and just care for other things and not just obsess over PA school. So she's just been awesome. She's been like, I feel like everyone's dog is though, just like the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's like a little blessing in disguise. It's funny you said you had her for like a year, and I'm sure that year has been amazing. You already feel so close, and the longer you have them, it's just like it just keeps growing the bond. It never gets lighter. It just gets more. Like I've had mine for 6 years, and I just like
Oh my gosh.
every day I'm gone. I miss her. I hate going to the hospital, and like I'll get. My girlfriend will text me a picture of her, or I'll just like my open my screen, which is obviously her, and it makes me sad. I'm like, oh, I gotta go see my baby. I gotta get out of here and go see my
I
baby.
know.
So,
And like walking through the door and then having them greet you is just like the best feeling ever. It's like, oh my God, nobody's been ever this excited to see me. And it's like every day.
every time you come through the door, even, yeah.
Yeah, you could just be running to like the mailbox and like you'll come in and still get the same excitement.
Yeah. There was a, I forget who said this. It was maybe a comedian or something, but he said, you can take your wife and your dog and put them both in the trunk and drive for 10 hours. And when you get to where you're going, the difference between your wife and your dog is the dog will be happy to see you still. So that's d
That's
definitely
funny.
definitely speaks truths. Like the dog will just be like, "Yay, I'm back!" But the wife's
Oh
not
my
gonna be
God,
happy.
yay,
So.
you opened the trunk.
Sweet. Yeah,
Exactly.
I left a stinky surprise in there for you. But yeah, that's funny. So, and then another thing we talked about on the phone was you're a fan of breweries, obviously before COVID. So
Oh yeah.
I'm in Asheville, North Carolina, and there's like a crap ton of breweries here, and I've been trying to explore as much as possible with, time constraints and COVID, but it's a cool spot, and like brewery tours are just so much fun. And it's like a beautiful science behind making beer that
Oh my gosh.
you didn't appreciate as a kid, or as a kid, as a younger
Well,
person,
yeah.
just consuming it in college, for fun. Now it's like I don't drink it for fun. I drink it. Well, I don't drink it for going out. I drink it for just peace of mind now, and it's a cool
Yeah, and
science.
appreciating it. Yeah, I definitely have gotten more into beer since meeting my boyfriend 100%. Like, I think in college was Natty Lights and Blue Moon. Like, that was the extent of it.
Natty Light.
And I know, right? And like the frat basements, that's what they have, Natty Lights. But and like my nice beer was a Blue Moon. But I think since meeting my boyfriend, he's definitely expanded my beer palate. I never thought I would like an IPA. I do like IPAs now. They just have to be the right ones. I like New England, like hazy IPAs. That's like my prime. That's like the beer I'll go for every time. But yeah, there's a lot of breweries around here. I think my favorite brewery tour ever, though, like not even just like from my region of the world, was I went to Chicago and I went on the Lagunitas brewery tour. And that was just like the coolest facility, the coolest company, the coolest story. And then It turns out I also really like their beers.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. What is it? Lagunitas is pretty cool. I've never been to that one.
That's a cool one.
I'll have to
If
check
you ever
that
go to
out.
Chicago, definitely go.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I've been a couple times, never been to the brewery, so I'll definitely check that out. I'd say the coolest one, if we ever link up here in Nashville, I'll take you to New Belgium. That one's pretty sweet. They
Oh,
make like Fat
nice.
Tire and things like that. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love Fat Tire.
Yeah, and it's really cool. You can if you go up the river a little bit, you can get in like a tube or what, like a kayak or whatever, and you can float down the river, and they have a little port you can pull into in your boat or whatever and grab beer
That's
right off
so
the water.
cool.
Yeah, it's really
That's
sweet.
like
It's
Southern living. That's like we don't do that fun stuff up here in the Northeast.
that's
I'm
southern and
jealous.
mountain stuff right there. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's a good combo.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty cool. I mean, I've loved it here, and I interviewed in the winter, and I actually really liked it in the winter even. That's kind of a big sign. And it's not going to be as harsh as in Pennsylvania, so I'll be fine compared to you in the
Oh
winter.
yeah.
But
No, luckily we haven't had a bad winter in the last couple years, but I hate the snow. Absolutely hate it, but I love like the seasons changing in fall. So I definitely need somewhere with like I like the seasonal change and I like it to be cold for Christmas, you know, things like that.
that's true. Cold Christmas is mandatory. I like a cold New Year's too. That's why it was kind of tough in Florida when I lived there, when I worked there, and when I went there for school. But North Carolina has everything as for all four seasons wise, so I'm happy to be home. Yeah, I mean, we've been talking for a bit. It's already been like 40 minutes already. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I know.
Kind of flies
That's
by,
crazy.
right? So I'm glad it hasn't been too painful so far. So
No, not at all.
yeah, I mean, you want to do the wrap-up questions?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so I ask these four questions to all my guests, and you can just take as much time or little time, whatever as you want, flush them out, and then we'll go from there. So I usually say, let's say you were already in PA school, or you were already just like working in respiratory therapy. I would say, what are the keys to success in that field? But for you, I'm going to say, just as like a person within healthcare, in your opinion, what are your keys to success?
I think the keys to success in any healthcare field is always being able to admit when you're wrong or when you need help, because we have patients' lives in our hands, and you have to be able to admit like when you need help. So that's definitely a major thing. And then I would say also just always being open to learning. I guess those kind of go hand in hand, because healthcare is just a forever like learning experience. You learn something new literally every day. I feel like I learned something new at work last night, and I've been a respiratory therapist for 3 years. So it's, yeah, just being open to forever learning and then always being able to admit when you're wrong or need help.
What was the new thing you learned?
Well, we had to do something. It's going to sound so silly. I just like never tied the two together, but like people who have rheumatoid arthritis, they can have it's like a restrictive lung disease because it affects their lungs as well. So it's like I never really like tied those two, like that disease as like a pulmonary disease, you know?
Oh yeah, that's like the further, longer progression of it. But yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's cool. Like you said.
I was talking to someone about it, and we were like, oh my God, I never really realized how, why the person's having so much like pulmonary issues, and it's because of their rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a cool combination and realization. Okay, so then the next question I have for you is, has healthcare, your experiences in it, has that been what you expected?
I think it has been what I expected, but it's also been more than what I could have ever even imagined, not really coming from a healthcare world prior to school. I don't have any family members that work in healthcare, so it was kind of just like a shot in the dark and just kind of what you see on TV and what you hear about, what you can imagine. But it's definitely been such a better experience than, like I said, I could have imagined. Just the amount of people I work with and how smart everyone is and how much everyone just like works together to care for not only like the patients but each other. It's just a really great community to be able to work in, like the healthcare community. So I'm excited to be continuing my education in the healthcare community, but being able to care for my patients in a different way.
Absolutely. That's great. And that kind of leads into the third question, which is, you know, now that you've had your realization of what you want to do and you're on your way up to PA school and everything, and you've been working as a respiratory therapist, what is your advice to others kind of on their way up, like trying to figure out what they're doing or trying to get into what they know they want to do? What would be your advice to those people?
I think my main advice is just do it. Like, yes, like we can think about it all day, every day, like, oh, I want to do this or I want to do that, but we have to put action behind our words. So I think that's when my life really started to change and become what it is now, is when I actually signed up for that class. I actually sent in that application, and just making sure that you have intention behind your words, because I feel like a lot of people, we can get so comfortable in where we are. Like, as a respiratory therapist, I felt like myself getting comfortable, but it's when I actually put action behind my words and set a new goal for myself is when I started to see change and I was excited about my life and my future again. So I think that's my biggest advice.
Sweet. I like that. And I can use that for myself, you know, even now I'm in residency, but that's not it for me. So got to keep pushing. So, and the last question is, if you woke up tomorrow and you were 10 years old and you had to do everything over to get back to where you are today, about to start PA school, would you do it all over again?
I think I would. It would suck, but I would. 100%.
It would suck, that's for sure, but
yeah, there's some aspects of my life in there that I don't want to relive, but I would do it just to be able to get to where I am today.
Yeah, plus if you didn't do everything over again, something might change and you wouldn't end up on the podcast, you know?
Exactly. Like, that would, I got to do it then.
Exactly. So at least we're in agreement with that. We agreed on a lot of stuff throughout this whole conversation, but we definitely agree on that. So that's good.
That's the number one.
But no, in all seriousness, I'm super excited for you. And I can just tell just from hearing your passion just for your current job and your excitement for the next stage, and you're going to do great. It's going to be tough, obviously, but I think you're going to do great. And if there's anything I can do along the way, just like you need someone to yell at or, you know, tell how bad it sucks, like, let me know. If anything I can do to help, just let me know.
All right, good to know. You'll be number one on my list to complain to.
Well, you can go to your boyfriend first, but then you can branch out from there.
Got it. Sounds good.
That's funny. Yeah. So, I'm sorry it took so long and kind of convoluted for us to get you on here finally, but I'm really glad we did. And I really enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, it was definitely well worth our crazy schedules and making time to do this for sure. It was awesome talking with you.
Awesome, Sam. Well, I really appreciate it. And yeah, I will be in touch. I'm a little behind right now because of residency and everything on editing. But once I get it put together, I will let you know, and we'll get your cool story out there.
Thank you. Really appreciate you reaching out. I'm glad that we got to do this. And if I'm ever in the Asheville area, definitely we'll hit you guys up.
Sounds like a plan. Looking forward to it. All right. Best of luck. I'll talk to you later. All right. That was Samantha, incoming PA student, current respiratory therapist. Hope you all enjoyed the episode. To those in the game and those on their way up, keep grinding and don't let anyone take your dream away from you.